Welcome to the Three Creeks Church podcast. Today we're in a series called Don't Skip Leg Day, and it's designed to help you find and follow God in everything He says. In this current season, our church is gathering once a month on the first Sunday, and then we're meeting in community groups for the other 3 weeks. To find out more about our church, to give online, or to join a community group, visit threecreekschurch.com.
The question won't be, how many awards did you get in life? Won't be, how popular were you in your social setting? That won't be the question that day. It will not ask, how much money did you accumulate? How much did you have in stocks and bonds? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh will see it together.
Hey, Three Creeks, welcome back. Week 4 of Don't Skip Leg Day, the last week of the series. Side note, happy birthday, Three Creeks. We're officially 3 years old now, and it feels good to kind of enter into our fourth year as a church together. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sticking with us over the last 11 months or so as we just continue to try to figure out how to follow God and how to do it together. Many of you, I'm sure, are signed up and excited about coming to our in-person service next week. We're excited to do that. We believe we can do it safely. And if you want to come, make sure that you RSVP online. And if you want to watch online, we're going to just keep doing that to make sure everybody feels included in our church family. This is week 4, right, of Don't Skip Leg Day. It's the stuff that we should talk about. Nobody really wants to talk about. And we, at the beginning, identified 3 areas that we as a church, as a whole, need to get a little bit stronger in. If you remember in week 2, we talked about generosity, how mature Christ followers give generously and cheerfully to the work of God through their local church, through other organizations and ministries. That's what a mature Christ follower does. They give generously, sacrificially, to the point where it stings a little bit. And then last week, John talked about evangelism, about how important it is in the life of a believer to tell other people about what God has done for them, to not be shy or timid, but to enter into those conversations and tell other people what God has done. And then this week, we're going to talk about one more area that we need to mature in as a church, that we need to get stronger in as a church. I made the commitment at the beginning of this series that I'm going to be honest, that I'm going to be pointed, that it might get uncomfortable, but most workouts that make us get stronger are uncomfortable. And so that's kind of the premise behind this whole series of Don't Skip Leg Day. Today, what I want to talk about is prayer. And I want to make a statement here right on the front end. I believe that our effectiveness as a church is being hindered by our prayerlessness, mostly mine. As a church, if I'm just being honest, we've never really been committed to prayer like I hoped that we would be, like I believe that a mature church ought to be. We, at the beginning, tried to do this prayer meeting at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, 1 hour before the church started. We did it down in the music room. It was away from everything. And we said, guys, let's show up and pray. And then we'll pray about the service and what God wants to do. And I just was so sad, frankly, because nobody really ever came. Like, every once in a while, there might be 1 or 2 people, but it was pretty much Nicole Evans, our prayer team leader. It was her idea to start it. It was pretty much her and maybe 1 other person. At one point, we felt compelled to try to create a prayer space at the end of our services, a 10-minute block of time that would allow you to talk with God. We even started a prayer team. We'd have 6, 7, or 8 different people on both sides of the stage underneath the pipe and drape. We printed those prayer signs that says, do you need to pray with somebody? We just felt like we wanted to give you a chance to pray, but let's be honest, right? I mean, you were looking at it too. Maybe 1, maybe 2 people would come up and pray. If 3 people came up to pray, that was a wild week for the prayer team. And I'm not trying to say that you didn't pray in your seat. You probably did, many of you. But what I'm saying is, if you look at, you know, 200 people coming to a service at Goshen Lane, two or three people coming up to pray, it's not indicative that we really believe in prayer, feel like we need prayer. It just doesn't go, wow, this church really is committed to praying to God. It's like, man, these people seem like they got it figured out. They don't really seem like they need to pray that much. I've spent a lot of time in a lot of prayer circles where, you know, this team gets together or that team gets together before they're going to try to do something. And it usually goes like this, like, hey, John, why don't you start? And then Brad, you can close after that. And anybody who wants to pray in between them can pray. Too many times it's been John, awkward silence, Brad, and nobody else feels inclined to pray out loud to God with the people in the circle. We've even tried to have some of these prayer nights where we just set a whole night aside just to pray. And maybe 30% of our church shows up. And don't get me wrong, I'm thrilled about those that do show up. I love it. I love being there because it's like, man, these people want to pray, but I just can't shake this feeling that there's just a lot of people out there that didn't want to come to prayer night. And I've asked myself a lot of questions over the last couple of years, like, why not? Like, why aren't we a church that seems really eager to pray? Why aren't we a church that's very committed to prayer? Is it because we don't think it works? Is it because we don't know what to say? Is it because, you know, John's opening prayer was really good, and so I'm not sure if I can compete with that, or he said everything I wanted to say, and so I'll just be quiet? I don't know. I don't know the answer. I just had lots of questions about why our church seems just very young in the area of prayer. But let me just be totally honest with you, completely transparent about this. Every time I get frustrated about this, every time I feel like, man, why isn't prayer something that's important to these people? Maybe it is important, but why doesn't it seem more important to us? I just sense God saying to me, Joel, you're the one leading the charge in prayerlessness. It doesn't seem that important to you either, Joel. And I'm just being honest. That's what God says to me every time I get a little irritated by our lack of maturity in the area of praying. I'm just admitting to you that I feel very immature in the area of prayer. And I've heard it said before, and I think that it's true, that if you want to humble a Christian, ask them about their prayer life. I don't know a lot of people that are saying, pray like me. I know a lot more people that are saying, I want to pray more. And I'm saying to you today, I want to pray more. I read a book recently. I don't know if you can see the title of this. It's called Power Through Prayer by a guy named E.M. Bounds. It's one of those books that as you read it, you want to underline or highlight every single sentence. It just carries a lot of weight. It's very pointed. It's one of those books that as you read it, you go, I just got to underline or highlight everything that he says. It just carries a lot of weight. The chapters are really short, but it feels like it takes 20 minutes to just read one of the chapters. I just want to read you a few sentences. It's a little bit longer of a passage than I would typically read during a message, but I want to read it because I think it describes where we're at as a church pretty well. Maybe you'll agree with me. It says, the superficial results of many a ministry, the deadness of others, are to be found in the lack of praying. No ministry can succeed without much praying, and this praying must be fundamental, ever-abiding, ever-increasing. The text, the sermon, should be the result of prayer. The study should be bathed in prayer, all its duties so impregnated with prayer, its whole spirit in the spirit of prayer. And this is more about me than it is about you, but I think you'll catch what I'm saying. God's true preachers have been distinguished by one great feature. They were men of prayer. differing often in many things, they've always had a common center. They may have started from different points and traveled by different roads, but they converged to one point. They were one in prayer. God to them was the center of attention, and prayer was the path that led to God. And let me just read that line again. God to them was the center of attention, and prayer was the path that led to God. These men prayed not occasionally, not a little at regular or at odd times, but they so prayed that their prayers entered into and shaped their character. They so prayed as to affect their own lives and the lives of other people. They so prayed as to make the history of the church and influence the current of the times. They spent much time in prayer, not because they marked the shadow on the dial or the hands on a clock, but because it was to them so momentous and engaging a business that they could scarcely give it over. If I read that and I read the rest of this book, I just feel so convicted by my prayerlessness. And let me just tell you why I feel like this is so important. So important to me, so important to you. Here's why. I want to witness the mighty work of God in our church. I want to come into our services and I want it to just be palpable. I can feel the presence of God in this place. I want to be a part of, see, witness miracles among us. I want things to happen that nobody will believe me when I tell them. Like if they weren't there and I tell them about it, they go, that's not even possible. I go, no, it is. It happened. God did it. I want the indescribable to happen. And that starts with prayer. And that starts with me. And that starts with us. Like if you desire some of the same things that I'm talking about, this supernatural experience with God, I believe with all of my heart that that starts with people praying for that to happen. I want to tell you a story, and I don't want this story to scare you. I just want to tell you a story of something that I experienced that will help you see what I hope could happen in our church. I got a chance to go to Ethiopia a couple years ago, and it was an eye-opening trip for many reasons. If you've ever been to Ethiopia, you know what I'm talking about. It's one of the poorest places in the world. It was a really hard place to be, frankly. And I went to church one day, and I was just overwhelmed by their singing, by their praying. It was a place that I was like, man, I love going to this church. And as the service ended, something that I'd never witnessed before happened. There was a woman who had just started coming to the church, or maybe she had just heard that the church was there. She wasn't a regular person at the church. I don't believe she would have called herself a Christian. And she was pregnant. And she was there with her husband and their other little girl who was maybe 4 or 5 years old. She was pregnant. She looked really pregnant. She walked up to the pastors. I was sitting in the front row just kind of observing this as it happened. She came forward and just described to the pastors that her baby that was 8 or 9 months in her belly had stopped moving for 3 days. And she was scared that she had had a miscarriage and didn't know what was going on. And the pastors were convinced that she was demon possessed. And it kind of took me off guard. I'm like, I don't see that a whole lot in American churches where the pastors immediately go, demon possessed. That seems like an extreme reaction, but they were confident. And so the pastors, you're not going to believe this, they pulled out a tarp. They pulled out a tarp. It was green, and they put it on the floor, and they had the woman go to the middle of the tarp, and then two of the pastors went, and this woman got on her knees, and they just started, in Jesus' name, praying that the demon would be cast out of this woman. I was just going, what is going on here? This does not happen at Three Creeks, right? Like, this is a new experience for me. So I'm watching, you know, eyes wide open, going, what's going to happen next? Another one of the pastors sits down next to me, and I get a chance to talk with him. I said, hey, what is going on? And he explained that they believed that this woman was demon-possessed and that the demon was preventing this baby from moving. And I'm like, wow, okay. Well, I said, what's the tarp for? And they said, well, when the demon comes out, it'll come out in one of two ways. Either the woman will scream at the top of her lungs, or oftentimes the woman will throw up, and that's evidence that the demon has come out of her. What? What? You know? And so as this is happening, they continue to pray. Maybe 10 or 15 minutes pass, and I look over at this guy. I'm like, are you guys sure that she's demon-possessed? Like, could she be, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't know how to deal with this, but are you sure? And he said, yeah. But this demon seems to be more stubborn than most. I said, will it always come out if you guys pray? And he said, oh, yeah. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. There was no hesitation. There was no, I wonder if God's going to do this. It was just a matter of time before God was going to answer their prayer. These guys, they pray so much that they get tired and they've got to go tap in another pastor to come and carry the baton and keep praying. They pray and they pray and they pray. And I'm just telling you what happened. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to make up a story. And I'm not exaggerating. After 20 minutes or so, this woman screamed at the top of her lungs. And the baby started to kick for the first time in 3 days. About 5 seconds later, the husband, who somehow was sitting just observing this happen to his pregnant wife, he was sitting there with his four-year-old. When she screamed, he stood up and held his four-year-old. I watched it happen. And as she screamed, and then this happened, the four-year-old starts freaking out. And the pastors go, the demon's trying to get into her. And so they go over and they start praying over her, and all of a sudden she's calm. So after 3 days of this baby not kicking, the pastors prayed fervently and a miracle happened. Literally. I mean, have you ever seen anything like that? I've never seen anything like that in my life. It happened. I was shook. I couldn't believe what I had just experienced. I'd heard about it. I'd read stories in the Bible about it. I'd never seen it with my own eyes. So you know what I did? I got in the car with that pastor on the way to lunch. I said, you're driving me. I got some questions to ask you. I said, how often does this happen? He said, it happens all the time. I said, like, are you ever unsuccessful? And he said, you know, some demons are tougher than others, but no, like God always wins. And I'm thinking to myself, man, they have a tarp. Like this happens so much that the church got tarps. Like we don't have a tarp. Maybe we should get one. We don't have a tarp. I was just kind of shook by the whole experience. As the trip went on, as I spent more time with these Ethiopian pastors, something else about them blew my mind. And at the time, I was frustrated by it. And here, you'll understand why. Because we were staying in these different hotels, and, you know, two or three or four of us would be in a room with two beds. And at 5 in the morning, sometimes 4 in the morning, they start praying. And they're on their knees by their beds praying. Every day. Every day these guys are up at 4 or 5 in the morning and they're praying. They're waking me up. I'm like, can you pray in your head, in your heart, you know? Like this was totally foreign to me. I did not understand what it would be like to get up at 4 or 5 in the morning and start to pray. As I look at this characteristic of their life, and then I look at this other part of their life where you go, and this is indescribable. Like, this is the work of God. Like, there's no way human people can conjure up what they're experiencing. They go hand in hand. And what this trip, what this experience showed me is not that, you know, if you wake up at 5 in the morning, you're going to see demons cast out. It's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that what this trip showed me was that a serious commitment to prayer is going to turn into a life that's unexplainable, where you go, this is the work of God. There's no way that this could have happened under mere human influence. You guys, that's what I want to see in our church. I want to see things happen. I want to experience things that happen that if I tell them to people that weren't there, they're going to go, that didn't happen. There's no way. I go, no, it really did. Like I've witnessed a miracle. I want to see people be healed. I want to see people come to know Jesus. I want to see people be baptized, have their lives just flipped on their head because of the work of God. And I really believe that that starts with us, and it starts with praying. And I want to say again, I think that starts with me. I think that our effectiveness as a church has been hindered by our prayerlessness, mostly mine. One of my New Year's resolutions this year is to just be a person that prays more with my wife, that prays more with my kids, that prays at dinner and just doesn't say, "Dear God, thanks for the food, blessed are our bodies, in Jesus' name, amen." Now, I want to be a person that every time I go to God, I'm really communing with Him. I want to be a person that prays like that. Listen, I when I tell that story and it's like 4 or 5 in the morning, that's unrealistic for me. I'm just being honest. I think it's probably unrealistic for you right now. That'd be like you coming into this gym and me throwing a bunch of plates on a barbell and saying, "Hey, can you bench press 300 pounds your first day?" Like, I don't think that's going to go well for anybody. And so if I would say something to you like, "Hey, let's all pray for 30 minutes every single day this week," I don't even know if anybody's going to sign up for that. That seems a little unrealistic right out the gate. Here's what I want to propose. It's really simple. Not that hard. Could have tremendous impact on our lives, on our church. Every Friday morning, Three Creeks prays. Every Friday morning, if Three Creeks Church is your home, we pray. We pray for our church. You pray for me. You pray for our staff. You pray for the people in your group. You pray for the Sunday service that's coming up. You pray for things that are going on. You pray for more than just that. On Friday morning, Three Creeks prays. For me, I'm just telling you, it's going to be from 6 to 6:30 a.m. on Friday mornings. It's a window of time that usually my kids aren't awake. Morgan and I are going to get together and we're going to pray. We're going to pray for you and for our church and for God to do amazing things. Maybe you have a 15-minute commute to work. Friday morning, pray. Maybe you just get up a little earlier. Friday morning, you pray. On Friday mornings, Three Creeks prays. It might be amazing to see if you look at everything that happened over the course of a whole year. If we all prayed on Friday mornings, hopefully we pray more often than that, but if we really all prayed on Friday morning, I wouldn't be surprised if crazy things happen on Fridays. I'm just saying, I think that a serious commitment to prayer correlates directly with miracles, just unbelievable things happening in or through our lives. Maybe for you, you got to put a reminder on your phone. This is going to be a habit that takes a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months to get into. But Friday morning, Three Creeks prays. Like, we pray on Friday morning. If there's one thing that quarantines and lockdowns can't stop us from doing, it's praying. It can stop us from getting together. It can stop us from worshiping. It can stop us from getting underneath the roof altogether. It can do that. It can't stop us from praying. In fact, this probably should have improved our prayer life. And it probably gave us enough time that we should be more committed than we've ever been in the area of prayer. I hope that we could just start by, on Friday mornings, Three Creeks prays. Whether you are a seasoned veteran in the area of prayer, or maybe prayer is really a new thing for you, I want to just lay out very simply here at the end of my message, just a quick little plan for you to pray. This is simple enough for you to teach a 2-year-old and deep enough for you to take 2 hours to do it. It's really simple. It's the word pray, and it's an acronym. And the first letter is obviously P, and the P stands for praise. You just start off your prayer by praising God. In Psalm 146, it says, "Praise the Lord. Let all that I am praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord as long as I live." So that's how we start our prayers. We just take a few minutes and we just list off things that we're thankful for. We just praise God. You can look around and pick out 10 things in 2 seconds that are worth praising God for. We just start our prayers not by asking for stuff, not by telling Him all of our problems, but we start by praising God. That's the letter P. A 2-year-old can do that. Or that can take you 20 minutes. It's simple and it's deep and it's profound if we would just do it. It's not that hard, but it just takes the discipline to start doing it. So that's P. R stands for repent. That means to turn from our sin. The Bible is really clear that God hates sin. In Psalm 50, it says, "Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin." David starts off his prayer in Psalm 50 with those verses, asking God to forgive him. He repents. He says, "I'm sorry to God." The Bible is so clear that God hates sin, and sin can hinder our prayers from being heard by God. But the Bible is also clear about something else. The Bible is also clear that if we confess our sins, that God forgives them. As far as the east is from the west, you're white as snow if you come before the Lord and you repent first. And so if you want to ensure that your prayer is going to not fall on a turned ear, but fall on a receptive and God that is listening to us, then start off by repenting. That's the R in the word pray. The word A stands for ask. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it simply says this: "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need." I think you'd be hard-pressed to find something that prevents us from experiencing God more than self-sufficiency. The sin of self-sufficiency, it destroys our relationship with God. You see, in every other area of life, as we mature, we need less help, right? Like when you were 3 or 4 or 5 years old, you learned to tie your shoes, you needed less help because you were maturing. Or when you knew how to do your own makeup, or when you knew how to drive a car, you need less help as you mature. In the Christian life, as we mature, we become aware of how much help we need. We actually need more help. We become less self-sufficient. We don't have this approach in life as like, "I don't have any prayer requests." As we mature as Christ followers, the list of prayer requests is too long to name. It's awkward to name everything that we need prayer for in a group setting because it's going to take forever. This is what a mature Christian knows and feels in times of prayer. Like, there's not enough time to pray for everything that we need God for. Number 3 in your prayer is to ask. Ask Him about everything. Your health, your family, your relationships, everything. That's what the Bible says to ask God for. We believe that prayer changes things and that God does hear our prayer. And the last letter in the word pray is the letter Y, and that stands for yield. And there's a verse that I want to read you from Isaiah chapter 55. It says this: "For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." Those are the words of God. He's essentially reminding Isaiah and the people that are going to hear what Isaiah has to say that God's way is better, that His thoughts are higher, that His ways are higher than our ways. Like, we can't think at the level that God thinks. We can't see the world at the level that God sees the world. And so God does want us to come to Him, and He does want us to ask about everything. He does want us to ask Him and present requests before Him, but He also wants us to close our prayer with this attitude of humble submission to the will of God. That even if we ask for one thing, if he knows something else is better, like, we yield and we go, "God, you know what we want, but ultimately what we want is what you want. Ultimately, we don't want what we want. We want what you want, God." There's this attitude of yielding to the sovereign goodness of God in prayer. P-R-A-Y. It's so simple. Praise, repent, ask, and yield. It's a formula that can take you 45 seconds or 45 minutes. And it would just be a way for you to commune with God. It really is amazing if you think about it, that we don't pray more, right? I mean, it's like, wait a minute, God, the creator of the world, wants to talk to us? I don't know if you've ever talked to the president of the United States. that would be a difficult conversation to secure. You would have had to do something pretty extraordinary to have a conversation with the president. You probably have a hard time having a conversation with the president of your company. You know, that for some of us that work in big companies, it's like that's even a hard conversation to have, to secure. But you get to talk to the creator of the world at any time of the day that you want. It really is unbelievable that we don't pray. Guys, I want our church to grow into this church that is mighty in prayer. That we want to see things that are unbelievable, indescribable, only God could do it. And I want to agree with you that that starts by us being more committed to prayer. If we have a prayer meeting before service, I think that starts with a lot of us showing up and praying and asking God to do more than he has before. If we have these, you know, prayer circles and one person starts and one person ends, like three or four people pray in the middle and we're going to be late to the next thing. I don't care. I want to be the church that prays, not the church that's on time. When we have a prayer night, I want everyone to be there. When we have prayer space at the end of our services, after quarantine's over and it's, you know, better for us to be in close proximity with one another, I want to be a church that prays, where there's a line to come and pray. Because we recognize that we need God. We've matured into knowing that we need him all the time. That's the kind of church that I want to be. I want to close this message, and I want to close this series by telling the second half of a story that I started the first message with. If you were there, or if you watched or listened to it, I'm sure you probably remember it. It was a story that I told where I came into this gym for the first time and puked my guts out. It was a sobering moment. It was a reality check. I couldn't not be honest about where I was, and it was really, really good for me for someone to tell me where I was at. Well, after I started to work out a little bit more and come here more often, I kept showing up to a place that pushed me. That's really what it comes down to. I kept showing up to a place that pushed me. I tried that same workout again, and I did a lot better. And it's because I kept showing up over and over to a place that pushed me. And so, Three Creeks, I'm just asking you to keep journeying with us. Let us keep pastoring you and leading you to find and follow God really well. I know some of the conversations that we had in this series were jarring. It was new. It was like, wow, like nobody's been this honest with you in a while. But I hope that you'll take it as this loving nudge to maturity, that this gentle nudge towards growing in your relationship with God for real, right? I hope that you'll be more generous. I hope that you'll tell more people about Jesus, and I hope that you'll pray more. I hope that you'll enter into this process of becoming more and more like Jesus, maturing in your faith. Three Creeks, I love you so much, and we'll see you next week. Some of you in person on March 7th. We'll see you there.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Our vision is to help people find and follow God, and we hope today's message did that for you. To find out more about our church, to give online, or to join a community group, visit 3creekschurch.com.